grace to you and peace from God who creates all things and redeems us all and brings us hope. Years ago, when we lived in Berkeley, California, we would often find our way up to Muir Woods, north of the city. You walk from this modern parking lot onto the first part of the trail. And as you walk further into the wood, you find yourself enveloped in a sense of ancientness. The trees there tower so far above your head that it is almost impossible to see the tops. And on the right day, the tops of the trees are shrouded in fog coming in off of the coast. And on those days, it appears as if the trees reach right up into space and into creation itself. One day, we took our then young daughter there, kind of midweek. It was uncharacteristically quiet that day, not a lot of people there. And as we walked deeper and deeper into Muir Woods, we got into those trees which are just unbelievably big. And as we walked along, we decided, as one does, to hug a tree. There was a commercial, hug a tree. So we did. And all three of us gathered our hands, we held hands, and tried to get around the tree to give the tree a great big hug. But all three of us together could not wrap ourselves around the immense girth of this tree. It stood like an otherworldly presence, rooted, strong, connected to the earth. And connected for just a moment with us. I was aware in that moment of the immense presence of this natural and beautiful creation of God that had endured for likely over 800 years. It was almost like seeing a bit of God's work in those first days of creation, unspoiled. Many years have passed since then. Fires have found their way through those woods. And it turns out that the immense and rooted and strong nature of those trees is not as permanent as we thought. Now, those trees, which seem ancient to us, are really just sort of middle-aged in the world of redwood trees. Redwood trees can last for over 2,200 years. There are trees, redwood trees, that began at the time of the birth of Jesus and are alive today. I tell you that story because this morning's gospel brings me back there every time. Those trees in Muir Woods call me back to creation, to the beginning, to presence, and to permanence. John says this morning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we are supposed to hearken back to those first few phrases in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the world. And it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. It's no accident, I think, that the gospel appointed for this morning is the same gospel that we had for Christmas Day. Pastor Bree preached a wonderful sermon about that text. And I suspect that the formers of the lectionary were worried that you might have been too busy Christmas morning to come to church. So they put it in on the second Sunday of Christmas just in case. They didn't want you to miss it. The otherness quality, the kind of cosmic quality of those opening lines of John are striking. God and Jesus and the whole enterprise of God within the world in those opening texts seem far off and kind of cosmic. A kind of cosmic reality that is as nebulous and as necessary as the internet. We all know it's there, but none of us actually knows how it works. Well, there's a few people, I'm sure. The closest connection, at least for us in the first part of that reading of John, comes from John the Baptist. Suddenly, this imagery of cosmic creation is distilled down to one person. John. He is the one who is sent to prepare the way, to testify to the light, the true light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the first thing that comes out of God's breath is, let there be light. And John is sent to testify to it. Throughout the rest of the text, we're treated to this sort of witnessing that John will do and that we are called to. True light, which enlightens everyone, is coming into the world. And he was in the world. And the world came into being and presence through that light. The text finally finds its way down to what I consider to this day to be one of the most poignant moments in the New Testament. Raymond Brown, noted John scholar, reminds us again and again and again. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. It is God's witness that God has chosen to be present. Not in a theoretical or theological or mystical way, although all of those are true. What is remarkable about this text and about the enterprise that we are undertaking as the Christian church in the world is seeing the presence, the real tree-huggable presence of God in the person of Jesus. We will liturgically rush on next week to Jesus' adult baptism at the age of approximately 30. We will skip most of his life as if it was irrelevant, except for one small text about when he was 12 years old and acting like a 12-year-old. But stay for a moment with John, that the Word, this cosmic, unreachable, nebulous, difficult, and conceptual idea, became flesh and dwelt, pitched tent with us. For me, that text is the redwood of my life. It is not fleeting. It is not occasional. God chooses for you and for me and for the whole world to plant God's self in our garden. This text has the same kind of permanence and grounding and rootedness that 800-year-old tree in Muir Woods has to this day. And as we wrap ourselves around the presence of God, the presence of God wraps God's self around us and whispers like the needles of the grapevine, "I am with you always." We once again find ourselves not being able to be present with one another this morning. And I will confess, it sort of ticks me off. It's hard. For a couple of Sundays, we were able to be present with each other, if even in just a small way. And for me, it feels, as we go back to doing this kind of worship, which I am terribly thankful for, it feels almost as being cast back to the first part of John. Well, there's the word, and it's out there, and we'll do our best to send it over the internet. But real presence matters. Touch and smell and sight, to feel the spiritual warmth of one another, to wrap ourselves around each other with God's love, is important. Maybe this particular day is sort of like the fire that stormed through your woods not long ago. But the tree that we wrapped ourselves around as a family, stands rooted and present and strong today. In the same way, God's love, God's presence, and the child Jesus who will die on a cross stands in our midst and gathers us together in an embrace of love. And that is enough. It is more than enough. And it is in that space, in that garden, that we pray for those who have been victims of wildfires and floods and hunger and war and sickness and hopelessness. It is there that we pray together for new birth, tragic death, and waiting. In the beginning, God created the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God planted God's self in our midst and dwells with us. Amen.